Maeve Haughey, and this is a clip from my story, The Persistent Archive. Birmingham's a kind of funny city with a lot of pasts and a lot of futures colliding, and I find it quite a bewildering and strange place to live, not a place that I've ever found it easy to settle, so my story is a bit about that. And in addition, in this recording, you get a few extra bits of meowing from my cat, so anyway, hope you enjoy it. We stand inches from the window as he explains the double vision, the master narrative of the city, illegible without interpretation. I separate myself from the group, an inch closer to the curved window of the rotunda, looking down at indistinguishable rows of red brick terraces which butt up against train tracks and scrapyards piled high with rusting girders, trying, as he asks, to reimagine them as steel and glass, penthouses, or urban villages. From where we're standing, in a circular meeting room high above the city, the line drawings are overlaid on real points in space. The pen lines on the floor-to-ceiling windows match the horizon exactly. My colleagues watch him with interest, enthralled by his eloquence. His arrogance gives him a certain beauty, but the white suit seems an affectation. Only God would wear a white suit to work, I think, and I imagine your voice quipping that even he might struggle to pull off the matching shoes. When no one's looking, I exhale on the glass, blurring the double image. Clouds descend over the future of several streets. Far away on the ground, a mechanic steps outside for a fag into thick fog. Behind abandoned Northlight sheds, field maple seedlings root into cracks in half-toppled brick walls. Rows of grooves rubbed into the cast-iron corner posts of dripping canal bridges hold the creak and ache of years of heavy wet ropes. The world down there feels slow and static. But up here we're seated now, a circle of us at the vast illuminated white table in the centre of the near-empty room. My fingers interrogate the tabletop, trying to work out what it's made of. Could the whole thing be 3D printed? The man in white looms over us. Oh, Jesus, I hear you whisper as his impassioned soliloquy continues. His hands are caressing the air, tracing the roofline of an imagined new library. Its unique concept design roof will be like a leaf floating in space, he says. He looks at me as he uses the word sensual to describe the curve of its roofline, and I shudder and write down sensual to make you laugh. Then the man in the white suit explains there will be a sky park on the roof. I wonder what a sky park is. Its landmark design will revolutionize information, says the voice from the white suit, building to the practiced crescendo of a traveling preacher. If I'm not mistaken, the LEDs in this room are getting brighter as the moment builds. Perhaps he has a foot pedal somewhere. It will change the face of the city. It will be a new center, a new hub, the hotbed of a new cultural ecology. Let us make a commitment to excellence. Let us build the city of tomorrow, today. I roll my eyes at you, catching only my reflection in the darkening glass. There are drinks afterwards, tall glasses of bubbles endlessly replenished by attentive staff. The man in white gets drunk, and I'm half expecting it when he slides into a booth next to me in the hotel bar. He asks me how good I am at compartmentalizing my life. I know that means he wants to fuck me and wonders if I can keep my mouth shut. I look around for you so we can leave, but then I remember you're not around anymore, and I miss you so much. I say yes if he doesn't talk, and yes if we can ride the stainless steel up and up and up like we're journeying into space, and yes if it can be on the big table overlooking the city with the meeting room lights turned up overly bright like TV heaven. And then it's happening, and I try to repeat an excerpt in my head from the record you used to play over and over, so it's not really him, it's you. And Houston, even with my eyes closed, I can see you grinning as you say it. You might be interested that out my left-hand window right now, I can observe the entire continent of North America, Alaska, and over the pole, down to the Yucatan Peninsula, Cuba, northern part of South America, and then I run out of window. Roger, I say, smiling back. We copy. But then just like that, there we are in the flat, and you're shouting that I only ever tell myself the same stories over and over again. And I'm distracted again because behind you is this impossibly beautiful sky, and I think I must try and remember the strange golden quality of the light. And then suddenly you've gone, and the man in the white suit is real, and this is happening now, and as the side of my face presses against the cold-lit surface of the over-designed table, I open my eyes and imagine the red trails of taillights in the night far below, transforming into time-lapse films of blood cells rushing through my veins. You are gone, so there's no funny story to tell you, and in this place there is no bewitching slowness, no giddy dance around the question. I detach my mind, my insides vanishing into the archive. The earthy smell of old paper rushes out through the opening door. I know this place, know how to move through, tracing the permanent routes, how to stand still in darkness as though I'm inside a mind at rest, or how to walk along the corridors of rolling stacks, the lights tripping on, ideas and memories illuminating. The pattern of the stacks is a city of its own, the lights humming like street lamps. I locate the creased banker's box with your name on it, shoved between a dog-eared stack of papers and tins of films in blue metal cases. I pick one up, remove the lid, and hold the film strip up to the light. The next day, I wake in the hotel room, and when I leaf through the meeting papers in bed, the library plans are gone, and I wonder if I misunderstood. Nothing of yesterday seems real. Where I understood the library to be on the map, now there's an overly designed park, not sensual and curvaceous at all, but a grid system of shallow water contained in geometric troughs, artificial-looking lawns with sharp angles at each corner. I get out of bed, disoriented, and pull back the heavy curtains, stand at the hotel window looking out over Birmingham, running through my mind the things the planners told us yesterday. The drawings on the papers delineate a new vision. Yesterday is already redundant.
That was Maeve Haughey reading The Persistent Archive, which is the first story in the collection, in the Birmingham collection of the DW City series. And what a great story it is to kick the whole collection off. Maeve's kind of left you hanging there, but when you read it to its conclusion, it really is a beauty. And a special mention should go to Maeve's cat there, who I thought did some wonderful little touches there, and some strange beeps too, which I think possibly were the cat also. When you work your way through this, the stories might seem quite disparate and not necessarily linking in. There is no theme. Chris didn't set a theme when he sent these invites out to us to contribute. But he's done such a great job of putting them together that you'll see there are little bits that hint at parts of other stories. So in Maeve's, you've got the old Birmingham being overlaid with the new, and there was echoes of that in Peter Haynes' story. I don't know how to phrase this. The guy in the white suit. Is nothing to do with the story that I wrote at all, but I have a similar character in mind, similar in appearance, if nothing else, and that goes all the way through the collection, and that's not a conscious thing, that's something that's happened organically. We've no added extra chemicals. No, it's just happened naturally as Chris has put the collection together. I read The Persistent Archive a couple of days ago now, and it stayed with me for a long time. I thought it was an incredibly well-crafted story with such a compelling voice. So you need to go out and buy this anthology to see where that goes. Next up, on episode 6, I believe, if I haven't lost all of my senses, we'll be chatting with Rob Ganley, and he'll be telling us a little bit about himself, and hopefully read it a bit from his piece called Plane Spotting, which I haven't read yet, but I am very much looking forward to. So thanks for joining me. As always, I've been Gary Fletcher. I've put these things together. I hope you're enjoying them. I certainly am. So next up, Rob Ganley,